Welcome to Leaves the Blue Away. I'm your host, Todd Allen, and Will is here with me, my co-host. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Will's excited to be here.
Fine holiday weekend.
Can hardly stand himself. He's so happy to be here. What have you been up to?
I spent a lot of quality time in a tree stand hunting whitetail.
You got some deers?
I got a couple deer, yeah.
How many? You got a big 8-point?
No, a decent 8-point and a pretty good sized doe, a deer, a female deer. I'll be a lot more chipper after this Saturday when the game's over, and I cannot stress about it.
Will is very excited, I think is the right word, about the University of Michigan and the Ohio State football game.
I don't know
tomorrow.
If excited is the right word.
Are you nervous?
I have anxiety, I think.
Yeah, you don't. You think that Michigan has a chance?
They suckered me in because I was going to be done with them and stuff, but then they had this season and
they're looking good.
They are, and now I'm kind of
their only loss
for
has
it.
Been to the Spartans, State Spartans.
Which should have never happened. The Spartans suck.
They're pretty good. They got a good running back.
That's the only thing
they have. A horrible secondary defense.
They do. Ohio State showed that.
Oh
last
my gosh,
weekend.
That was a nightmare.
It was 131-14 or something.
Oh. They were down by 50 in the first half.
Yeah, 49 zip, I think, wasn't there?
Oh, my gosh. I quit. I turned it off. Because, I mean, why do I want to sit there and watch that? I'm not that true of a fan.
Yeah. You used to be more of a sports fan than you are now. Your big obsession was Michael Jordan, though.
God has moved me on. I'm doing his work now, which is this. Leaves the Blue Away.
It's your story. You tell it any way you want to.
By the way, you can find us right now. You can find us on Facebook and on Instagram at Leaves the Blue Away. And you also my website, thetoddallen.com. And yeah, you know what? Some other exciting news. My book is out there. Of course, my memoir is also Leaves the Blue Away. You can get that on Amazon for $10 currently. But that price is going to go up, I decided. I have been touting how Leaves the Blue Away is not subject to inflationary pressures. But I think that we're going to bump the price on Leaves.
You can't get much nowadays for $10. It's worth anything.
You can't. Moosehead Lager, maybe.
Thanks to Joe Biden.
You can get a 6-pack of Moosehead Lager for $8.99.
It tastes like it, too.
It's not bad. Is it Canadian? It is Canadian. They have
Canadian.
They have meese up in.
Many meeses.
A whole flock of meese. So anyway, check out the book, Leaves the Blue Away. So what do you think of that Rittenhouse trial, William? You're in the criminal justice
field. That's a good word.
And you would care about such things, I think.
Well, I thought it was a complete miscarriage of justice to even charge him with what they charged him with. But I got caught up. I normally don't get that invested in that stuff. But for some reason, I was captivated with this trial. And when I watched the verdict being read live, I was nervous for the kid.
Were you?
Yeah, and I remember how happy I was.
You weren't certain that the jury was going to come down on the right side.
No, I was thinking worst case scenario was hung jury if you got one idiot on there. Because it's not hard to get one idiot.
Right.
And a jury of 12.
And they have to be, when they come back and they acquit him of all charges, that has to be unanimous.
Yeah, which maybe, some people say it took them so long that they weren't unanimous at first. But I don't know if that's necessarily true because they asked for the jury instruction and all that, which the amount of pages involved in that was 36 pages or something. That takes time to go through that one at a time and read it so everybody understands it. That could have taken a whole day. And then to go through the different charges, they would probably have discussion on it. I think they were very diligent.
I felt like, now listen, I didn't watch as much of the trial as you did. I did pay attention to it. I did. A little solo show on a live analysis before the verdict came out. But I did not watch as much of the actual trial as you did, I don't think. I saw more clips and whatever.
I watched quite a bit.
But you actually watched it. You spent time.
Like his testimony live. I watched quite a bit of that.
And you probably have a good, because you, I imagine, being in the field that you're in, have probably been at a lot of trials where maybe you had to testify or whatever. But anyway, you're familiar with it all.
Right. And initially, I think I was wrong. I thought I've never seen a prosecutor so inept because their own witnesses were like.
Binger. Is that his name? Binger.
Binger, I think.
Is it Binger?
Was it Michael Binger? I don't know. Anyway, Their witnesses were more beneficial for the defense than their own case.
There was never any case.
I thought, what are these idiots doing? But then that's what I really realized. It wasn't that the prosecutor's so bad. He did do some things that were wrong.
Didn't he point the gun at the audience?
Stupid.
That's yes. not an audience. Whatever
he brought up his right to remain silent to the jury, which he's not allowed to do. They didn't provide all the evidence for the defense, things like that. So he did do some things that were wrong, but I think those were calculated risks they took because they
knew they had no case.
I think the prosecution would have liked a mistrial.
Yeah. You think that the prosecution brought this knowing they had no case?
100%. They brought it based on political pressure.
They were getting the political pressure.
That way, with the video they had, it was pretty obvious. I mean,
I remember back when it happened, I asked you, and I said, because you're a cop, I mean, you know what self-defense is, whatever. And I said, what'd you think? And you said, it looked like self-defense from everything I saw. It looked pretty.
People are trying to kick him in the head and hit him with a skateboard.
I mean, this was
early. I didn't even know the one guy pointed a gun at him. I mean,
yeah,
he's running for his life, basically, and then.
And as soon as he shoots the last guy, he runs to the cops, doesn't he?
I think that he was on his way running there before that. But yes, I think the most damning evidence that they had for his self-defense was anybody that backed up and didn't threaten him and put their hands up, he didn't shoot them.
No.
The only people that he shot were people that were actively, aggressively going after him. And not just chasing him until he couldn't get away anymore and was cornered. And then he shot him.
And even for the gun he was using, because you can spray off a lot of rounds with those guns. He was like one or two here and there.
Well, I wouldn't say spray because it's not a full automatic pull right. trigger. Semi-auto, you got to pull the trigger each right. time. But from personal experience, when you're involved in something high stress like that, you can fire off 10 rounds in like
not even realize
a
you did.
Second.
Yeah, that's what I would
be
think.
Like, oh my goodness, how did that happen so fast? The stress, you just start going at it. So
that's what people don't realize when they see these shootings right. and police are involved and they're like, oh my God, he had 35 holes through him. Does he really need that many? They don't realize how fast that happens yeah. from three guys with guns.
I've seen shootings where two guys shot at one guy and I mean, would get hit like 13 times and people think that's crazy, but that's two different people. And granted, they probably don't hit him every round, but when you're stressed and you're in live or die mode. Like,
well, clearly, yeah.
You can fire them so fast, it's ridiculous.
Because it's basically your life or their life is but, how
and
it feels.
And that comes from people that have been training. You know, police officers, they're trained for this situation.
Right. Not a 17-year-old kid.
Right. When they're training all the time and you have to go run to get your heart beat up before you shoot to simulate stress, he had not done it. He just went to a range and shot in a gravel pit or whatever it was up there in the woods. And 17 years old, I was so impressed with the way he handled himself, both on the stand and through that incident. I mean, I don't think it was a great idea to go there. He had every right to do what he did.
I was going to ask you that.
And I think that was poor decision making on his part.
If it was your kid, you wouldn't have wanted your kid down there with an AR-15.
But I see where he's coming from. I wouldn't want him down there without one. Let's put that way.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want him there at all. If my kid's there, I'd rather have him be armed.
Sure.
Because
Jordan would know how to handle it.
If he wasn't armed, he would be dead.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. They were going to kill him. I just think the way he handled himself and the restraint he showed with not a lot of law enforcement training, no background, he handled himself better than I think some police officers would.
I thought just
through the stress of the incident, knowing what to do, what not to do.
Yeah.
I
mean, in some ways, don't you think this. That Rittenhouse is something of a hero? I mean, he went down there. The government of Kenosha.
I think that term gets thrown around.
The government of, well, it does. But the government of Kenosha and the government of the state of Wisconsin basically abandoned the citizens of Kenosha. They knew this was going to happen, and they just decided for political reasons, we're not going to save your businesses. We're not going to enforce any kind of riot stuff. We're just going to let it burn.
I don't even think abandon is the right word. I think they purposely put those people in harm's way. They didn't just abandon them. They were against the citizens. Because to allow them to do it, they knew exactly what was going to happen. And I think it was encouraged by having the police pull back. When the police were told, don't go into certain areas, don't do this.
Yeah.
They wanted a big political scene and they got what they wanted.
It certainly seemed like in a lot of these places, Kenosha was one, a lot of the riots that went on during the summer of 2020, it certainly seemed like the blue state governments in those states came as close to encouraging them as they could.
Well, we had people in the government absolutely encouraging, saying, we need to go out there. We need to do this. And
well, you had Whitler go down there without her mask and march around, right? with the people. That was for the George Floyd stuff, the peaceful.
Yes. This stuff was all over
peaceful fentanyl overdoses.
Yeah. I heard they're putting a statue up for George Floyd, a drug dealer, an attempted murderer.
They'll have some abuser, white powder on it, probably.
A dope fiend. And they're putting a statue up for him in his honor. What an embarrassment to the people that live in that community.
I agree. I think it's horrible what has been done and what has been deified. And I'm not saying
whether the guy's guilty, the police officer is guilty or not, he's found guilty. But no matter that whole incident, to honor a guy.
I felt like that trial was unfair for Chauvin. I don't think Chauvin could have gotten a fair trial. I don't know where. Not.
So what do you do? Basically, you're stuck.
Well, I think I don't think you start putting people away just because you, as a government, can't supply a fair trial.
I also don't think the police officer was like completely innocent by any stretch.
He was negligent.
Everything
though.
Should have been handled differently than it was.
That should have been a manslaughter charge, right? I don't think he
intended to kill the guy. Right. I would think so.
But, I mean, like a whatever. Yeah. I don't know what the degrees are, but a negligent.
Yeah, I don't know what they are over there either.
Negligent manslaughter. Like he, although if you look at the manuals, I mean,
he didn't do anything that wasn't in the manual.
That's how they taught him to do it.
Which is the crazy thing. And he's vilified, and everybody got caught up in it. I don't think it was as bad as they said. It's bad because somebody died. No matter who dies, it's tragic.
Yeah, but he had 20 times the lethal dose of fentanyl in his system. This dude's probably on his way out anyway.
Which causes respiratory distress.
Oh, absolutely. You know who Steven Crowder is, Louder with Crowder.
Mm-hmm.
He did this thing where he had somebody who was Chauvin's height and weight and everything. And they cuffed Crowder and they laid him down and they did the exact, they acted it out for the exact same amount of time. He had his knee in the exact same place. Crowder's talking. It was uncomfortable. He didn't like it, but he certainly wasn't anywhere close to dying because he didn't have 20 times the lethal dose of fentanyl in his system.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basic.
What I do have respect for in this Rittenhouse thing was the judge handled himself very well. I think he may have gotten a little too fired up a couple times, but he literally was appalled at what the prosecutor had done.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think the prosecutor was as inept as they came across. They just had no case. So, and I don't think it's very unfortunate because what Kyle Rittenhouse went through, killing two people, shooting another, was very traumatic for him.
You could tell when he broke down on the stand. Did that seem authentic to you?
Well, did you see him at sentencing? It's the same type of thing. That's the way he responds to the stressor. So, you can't act that way. Nobody would act it out the way he did.
I didn't think so. I thought it seemed authentic to me.
But it's a traumatic experience to go through what you went through. Speaking from experience, would you take somebody's life? It's traumatic. You go through things and it's stressful and you have a lot of different thoughts going through your mind. More traumatic
than you would expect it would be?
Yes. And he had to go through that.
He had to be in jail for 85 days.
Then, wasn't it 4 months?
Long time.
Then he got arrested. And then he's in jail. And then his bond, wasn't it $2 million?
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then vilified in the media. Oh, he better make some coin civilly from the news outlets.
Going after CNN.
From Joe Biden himself when he was running for president saying he's white supremacist.
Yeah.
He's going to pay him some money.
Did you see, it was Nick Sandman. He was the kid from the
Native American thing.
Yeah, they had the big whatever.
They did the same thing to this kid.
And Nicholas Sandman, I think, came out and supported Rittenhouse and has talked to him.
So he got a lot of money, but that was CNN that he sued, correct?
CNN and a couple of, maybe MSNBC.
I think CNN was one of the big ones.
Yeah.
And so they're still doing the same thing to Kyle Rittenhouse. They did all along. But as soon as he's found innocent, they back it off and try to retract everything.
Right.
It's too late at that point, I think. The damage is done. How's this kid get his character back? How does he live a normal life?
He doesn't. I mean, now, in some ways, he may have opportunities he wouldn't have otherwise had. He may profit from this.
Somewhat.
In a way.
And I think he should.
I agree. I don't have any problem with it. I just think he may. You had some congressmen talking about putting him on their staff, and Matt Gaetz was one of them, and another guy was like, no, I'll do it first, and, they're going to arm wrestle over it or something.
I mean, he came across as a ambulance chaser wannabe when he was there providing medical aid and not any EMT and all that stuff. And I get that. And there's some of that in there, there's a lot of people like that that are good people, and he strikes me as a good person. And the way
he you're not the only person I heard say that. And I, like I said, I didn't watch as much of the.
He wanted to be there because he loved that action and wanted to be part of that. But he also he was doing the other things like cleaning up graffiti, so he wanted to help his community.
Yeah,
but I think he enjoyed it, and he's
he didn't maybe come across as the sharpest knife in the drawer to me, but that doesn't mean anything. I'm not saying he's
when
not.
It all went on. I mean, and you know. From also from experience, when you're nervous on the stand and
yeah.
your thoughts get jumbled very easily, like a defense attorney can lead you somewhere you don't want to go.
Right. I understand that.
That's the weirdest thing, too. It's the first time I ever watched a trial and felt like the prosecution was a sleazy defense. It felt totally opposite. And the defense attorney seemed like the person
up. You're saying that's one of the few times that you've seen
right,
that.
Because people, defense attorneys have that thought of being all the, you know, the sleazy defense attorney.
Yeah.
It seemed just opposite.
That's what I thought. I thought that the whole thing was politically motivated.
It was.
And, well, you and I had talked about it. I said this when I did my solo show that we, that I had talked to you, I think, the night before or something. And we felt like this was going to be, it had the potential to be a watershed moment for criminal justice, for the, you know, the entire thing. The idea of a justice system in the United States, we felt like it was pivotal.
Have to know that it can still work even when all the political... The media, all the liberal side is against you because honestly, because
they held a political gun not, to his head, to the jury's head.
That was not a given that it was going to work with all that stuff.
I suspected it might not.
Because the Department of Justice, I don't think is just anymore.
No, Department of Justice and the FBI both need
you
to be.
You can't hold people in solitary for a demonstration on the 6th.
No.
For that long and say you want justice.
They have done nothing but make a mockery out of whatever that was or
yeah.
And I'm not saying, you know what, I don't know what I've gone in, what I've not gone in if I was there. I have no idea.
I think it would have been hard not to get caught up in the moment and just go in there and say, this is our building.
Everything I've seen, the cops seemed
99% peaceful.
They're taking away gates, they're ushering people in. It seemed like everybody was fine.
It was a setup.
I mean, it was far more of a peaceful protest than standing in front of fires in Minneapolis. You know what I mean?
I loved it when the prosecutor for Rittenhouse case called them out and said rioters right at the beginning.
The prosecution or the defense?
The prosecution. He said, and these people are protesting. Well, some people would even say rioting. And of course, you know, they.
That's what it was.
And those guys that down there, the people that got shot, killed. They weren't supporting an anti-racist theme or part of BLM or anything. They were just...
Oh, they're the worst of the worst. Do you think that people are getting... That these thugs are getting paid to be there?
Yes.
I mean, that's why they're getting these criminals and everybody else, right?
Yeah, I think they're getting paid by liberal organizations.
Yeah, George Soros, whoever. They're bussing them in and they're paying these looters and rioters to be there. At least some of them.
Yeah. I mean, those guys... I don't know if they were paid, but a lot of people were, I think. And look at that type of people that we're dealing with here.
Yeah, you got
criminals.
Tucker Carlson made the comment about Rosenbaum, was it? Who said he died as he had lived, trying to touch an unwilling minor or something like that.
That's exactly what he said. And it was great.
It was a great line by Tucker. I think Tucker has taken over the Rush Limbaugh mantle. You? As the
somewhat
the titular head of the conservative party.
But he'll push the limits a little bit.
I like it.
Yeah.
Rush did too.
And he gets a message across with sarcasm and humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I just think he's taken the mantle. Hannity's still where Hannity was. Like Hannity was kind of second to Rush. He just
repeats himself over and over.
And Hannity's kind of, I feel like, second to Tucker. He's still Hannity. He's still good. But
Tucker's the most watched cable show. On TV.
He should be. He's so good. I subscribe to Fox Nation just for Tucker in that Patriot Purge documentary. I haven't
watched it.
Man, it's so good.
I'm a little bit scared too because I think it'll scare me.
It will
make me angry. But when you see that stuff laid out, it gets scary because what do you do? Like the insurrectionist on the 6th, all this other, like say they send Rittenhouse to prison. What do we do as citizens to get control? Not a whole lot at this point because they have everything. The government, the media, social media, big tech. It's kind of frightening when you look at it.
Do you, I mean, you even as a...
We have no freedom anymore.
Even as a police, you know, you have some power. is my point. And as yet you still feel that way.
Police officer?
Yeah, my point is that you have some, you're part of this institutional order.
I'm almost embarrassed to work for the government.
But yet you still feel like, what are we supposed to do? Like, that makes me a little scared that you feel that way.
There's a lot of people in my line of work that feel like, what are we going to do?
Because they just don't see any alternatives. No good alternatives. I mean, you hear all these. We got
to see what happens in the elections, but the power that they have right now, like, it does appear as though big government is wielding the FBI as a weapon against conservatives.
They're the Nazi SS. They're Biden's SS agents at this point.
They appear that way. The stuff they're doing, the search warrants they're doing, and then leaking it to CNN?
To the New York Times.
Yeah.
When the New York Times is in a lawsuit with Project Veritas, it's unbelievable.
And when they're treating parents that are concerned about critical race theory as terrorists and monitoring them illegally, they've never, ever been able to do that to citizens in our country.
No. Well, they can as long as they call them terrorists, right? Because the Patriot Act made it to where as long as you call somebody a terrorist, you can do whatever the hell you want.
And you know, really, who's the guy they interviewed about that? The government is when they asked him about the critical race during the school, if they used the term terrorist.
He's the
Homeland Security
guy? Might have been, yeah.
I can't remember his name.
I don't remember his name either.
He lied under oath.
Yeah, they lie all the time.
Nothing's going to happen to him.
No one cares.
Nothing's going to happen to him. Yeah, I just like to look at the apples and oranges. If conservatives or Trump or his family did just one little iota of what they're doing, they'd all be in prison.
Right.
All of them.
Absolutely.
And it would be quick, swift justice.
Well, justice being.
Imagine if one of Trump's kids, if Hunter Biden was Trump's kid.
Oh my gosh.
He would be in prison.
Absolutely.
And Trump would be out of office because of it.
Right.
When
you look at what Trump has gone, there's still all these investigations into Trump.
I feel bad for him, the stuff he's gone through, but the man is a rock.
He does it for us. He absolutely does.
He's a rock.
You think Trump's going to run again in 2024 or you don't? I'm trying to remember what you, I know Brandon was skeptical.
I don't know. The age thing makes me wonder. I want him to because I love the guy.
Yeah.
And even right down to his sarcastic stuff that he says that a president probably shouldn't say, that entertains me.
I love it.
Let's get back to just plain English and call a spade a spade.
Yes, I love it.
But
I'm with you.
But I think that's divisive too, somewhat.
I think that's
it is, even with parties. So is he going to bring everybody back together?
Trump?
Yeah. His base will be loving it. But what about those people?
What do you think the percentages are right now? If you had to guess. Now, the media paints this like we're the most polarized 50-50 country that you could ever imagine. Do you think that we're a 50-50 country?
It depends on what you're asking about. Like liberal conservative or the radical liberal progressives?
Well, politically. On two sides, not just politically, but culturally.
I think Democrat-Republican is pretty close.
And ideologically.
But I think the moderate Democrats are nowhere near what the Democrat Party is right now.
I agree.
30-40% of the Democrat Party is moderate.
I don't think
and
that
we've... I'm not talking about politicians. I'm talking about the Democrat voters.
Yeah.
So I would probably say 70% of our country is moderate Democrat or Republican. And the progressives are just making all the noise.
I agree. I don't think that there's anywhere near the split. I think that their fake stolen elections make it seem like more of a split. And then the media, the fact that the media is this mouthpiece that dominates so much of what goes on. I feel like their viewpoints is overrepresented. It feels overrepresented.
Let's just say this. If it was as close as they say, as the media portrays it, there would be no need for them to be peddling the racism that they are. They would just run on the merits of their case and not have to lie about everything and turn everything into a racist battle.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, what you just said is right. There are no merits to their case.
Right. If that many American people agreed with them, they wouldn't have to be doing all the crazy stuff and making it into a racist thing. To make everything about race, they're dividing us.
Yeah. I agree.
And they're making people feel guilty. If you don't support us, you're racist.
Right.
If they had any case that the American people agreed with, they wouldn't have to do that.
I agree with you.
It's hard not to.
So I have a question for you, William. Do you get somewhat hopeless at times about the state of the country? Or are you feeling
better? I very much get hopeless feeling.
Like, did the Virginia governor election, Glenn Youngkin, is that his name?
Made me feel good.
Were you like, hey, we won Virginia. We won, almost won New Jersey.
Maybe did.
Yeah, probably did, without the chicanery of all the election fraud.
Yes, that makes me feel good. But when you look at the big picture, it's still very frightening where we're at.
Yeah.
I teeter back and forth between despair and fear.
Oh, good.
With an occasional glimmer of hope thrown in there.
God hasn't given us a spirit of fear.
But a peace.
a sound mind or something. I don't know.
Peace and love and a sound mind.
There it is. Something. Do you have the... I have said this on the show. At least I've said it on solo shows. I don't know if I have with us together. I think that we are watching the wheels come off the federal government. I think that's what's happening. Now, we haven't exactly seen this before, so we don't know what to expect. We don't exactly know what's going to happen. But it feels to me, I know that they're doing the things that are totalitarian, dictatorial, all those things. But it feels to me like they're doing it because they're afraid, because things are starting. And I don't buy into the whole conspiracy, but I
out of fear that they're losing control and they've got to act now.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. That's what it feels like.
I think the wheels are coming off, but the scary thing is, I'm not sure we can continue to function as a free country without completely just scrapping it and starting over. They're out of control. It's too corrupt in too many places, and it's too big. Short of like really going back to states' rights and shrinking the federal government down,
which the federal government shows no appetite for, either Republican
they're
or
hungry for more power.
I mean, even when Trump got in. Trump didn't slow spending or cut the size. I mean, he did cut regulations, to be fair.
He got the economy
but going, he wasn't afraid cut to spend the size money, of government.
He? No.
Trump was of the opinion, and I think this is a little bit more populist. He was of the opinion that government was working horribly for its citizens, but that government could work well for its citizens. I think.
When operating properly, he thought the government could help, just the way they're supposed to.
I think that's what he thinks.
But I'm of the thought we don't need the government. Get them out of the way. Let's live our lives and function. I mean, the welfare system, everything is just so big and out of control.
And all of those things could be run by state governments.
Except for the VA and stuff like that.
Right.
Which Trump
military
did phenomenal
stuff.
Things with the VA.
He did.
That was such a crappy, terribly run. The horror stories I heard from guys I know.
Oh, really?
Going there. Going to sit there all day and get nothing
night
done.
And day difference now.
Yeah. Where they're in and out and they can actually could go to their own private doctor and still bill the VA.
That's pretty impressive.
I mean, these people, like the veterans, they pour their heart and soul into this country. They deserve it.
Yeah.
I mean, but no, let's give it to a migrant family whose children were taken when they're doing something illegal.
What, $450,000, half a million dollars if you got separated from your kid coming over the border illegally.
Well, but they capped it at $1 million per family.
Tell me this, and this may not be, I don't think this is in your, you're not in your field right now. You're not on the road. You're not doing those kinds of things.
Correct. Not in the uniform.
How big of a deal, and I don't know if you have a sense of this or if you don't, I hear a lot about this and I don't have a good sense for how big of a deal this, the fentanyl overdoses and this epidemic is, I guess. I hear about it, but you know, I don't. It's not part of my experience.
Well, heroin was out of control, and now it's basically 90% of what used to be heroin is just fentanyl now. It's taken over the trade.
And those are pills?
It's numerous things. It can be a powder. It can be pressed into pills. Now they're pressing it into pills to make it look like it would be like Vicodin or something.
Why do they use fentanyl? Is fentanyl cheap?
Powerful.
And so they get
Like, I don't know how much. 1,000 times more potent than the same amount of heroin.
Yeah.
Or I'm not even sure that's accurate, but it's significantly more potent and easier to get. Manufacturing a lab instead of.
As far as you know, over on the other side of the state, do you feel like there's an opioid crisis going on? Oh,
absolutely. But there has been for 12 years.
Has there?
Yeah. At least 12 years. The heroin epidemic has been terrible for 15 years, but now it's shifting to fentanyl. And fentanyl was so potent, it was killing people.
Yeah.
Whereas the heroin overdoses, you would get them, but not as much as the fentanyl. So it made this lot more light to it.
That's what I'm hearing is that the fentanyl, but I'm hearing that the fentanyl, the huge influx of fentanyl is directly due to the border just being wide open.
Well, I know talking to people, I've talked to people and have connections within like illegal drug trade.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that are friendly enough with me, they'll talk openly about certain things. When Trump was in office, the price of cocaine was through the roof because you couldn't get it.
Okay, because he closed the border.
I mean, you could get it, but it was a lot harder. So okay. The price was like way up for what you'd get. Like around the town of that size, people couldn't find it and couldn't get it. And it was just driving the price up. You know, supply and demand. It's no different for illegal businesses as it is legal.
That cause people to move to heroin? Or no?
No, because those are two totally different things. Okay. Cocaine's an upper.
Okay, I guess I don't know much about hard drugs. This is the truth. I've never even seen hard drugs in real life. I assume they exist because everybody talks about them.
Yeah.
But I've never seen a bag of cocaine.
They're totally different. But, I mean, some people do like that. Like, they'll mix meth and heroin, which are total opposites.
Oh.
And they get that Belushi speedball effect, you know, if they shoot it.
I guess.
You don't know what ride you're getting, then it's crazy.
Oh, people like that.
But...
because it's exciting.
I don't think one person is addicted to cocaine or crack because they can't get it, goes and uses heroin.
Okay. Totally, that's not how it works.
Right. Heroin will put you to sleep.
Okay.
Suppressant. So, yeah, it's terrible. And I think it's a lot worse because of the border.
Do you think we can get a handle on it? I've always been of the, William F. Buckley Jr., the estimable William F. Buckley Jr. back in the early 90s came out and he came out and said,
listen, he's a legalize it guy.
We have to get rid of this, the DEA and the war on drugs, because we spend $500 billion a year on it and it has made no noticeable difference. And at some point you just got to say it doesn't work.
It's never going to.
And so if it doesn't work, why are we spending this money?
Well, you can't say it doesn't work because it's bad with it. Imagine what it would be without it.
Well, but if you're using that kind of logic, you could justify anything.
You're like the little kids sticking their finger in the dike. You're helping.
Yeah.
Because all that would come through that hole is not coming through there. But are you going to stop it all? No, because it's going to end up.
But is it worth the cost that we pay is the question. Whatever marginal benefit we're getting, is it worth the cost that we pay for the DEA, for any of that stuff? I think that was Buckley's point, is that some things don't work.
It's true. And the system we have for combating it is not working well. But I don't know. It's hard to say. I know what you're saying.
I don't know.
The cost-benefit analysis would never work for a business run like that, correct?
Right.
So I know what you're saying, and I don't know the answer to that.
And that wouldn't be true of police. Like, the reason people have police forces and the communities have them and states have them and whatever is they see whatever the cost is of maintaining this police force as more than making up for it in a reduction in general crime
What you don't see and understand is those illegal drugs cause a lot of crime.
Right.
The home invasions, the shootings.
So does that go down if it's legalized?
No. They said if they legalized marijuana that there would be no more violent crime with it, which is a bunch of malarkey.
Is that not true?
There's homicides from it still. There's home invasions from it still. People there are getting robbed over
just
it.
Just as much.
Shot over it. Absolutely, just as much.
It hasn't changed that at all.
Nope.
I'm surprised by that. I would have thought it would.
I think there's just more people doing it because it made it more accessible and okay.
Right.
But the underground and the illegal is still there.
Yeah.
Weed still sold on the street.
Sure.
People are still growing it. They're selling it illegally. And people are robbing them for their weed or robbing them for their money.
So it's the black market.
It's nothing to do with the drug, that's with the
people. It's the black market where you're seeing a lot of that stuff still going on.
They break into the grow shops and dispensaries too.
Yeah.
And the owners will be there trying to protect it, and they're shooting at people. And
so there's a certain amount. You think there's a certain amount of
growing weed somewhere, and somebody breaks into their dispensary and steals a bunch of their
they're going to hunt them down, right?
They find out who it is and they handle it themselves.
Right, of course.
I know for a fact that happens.
I don't doubt that at all. I would think that would be kind of the point of biker gangs. Legalizing
it make any difference? I don't think so.
Do you still think you wish it was illegal?
Oof. I don't know how to answer that right now. I kind of do. Only for selfish reasons of being a police officer. It made my job easier.
It did?
Yes.
Well, because it was easier because you could always get people on weed, if nothing else, and hopefully get them to talk. Is that why?
When you pull somebody over in the hood,
Yeah.
That you think something no good and there's probably guns in the car. If you smell marijuana coming from the car and you know that if they say they have it, you can get in the car and search it.
That's not the case now?
No, because it's not illegal. The odor of marijuana can't get you in a car anymore.
Yeah, it's still illegal to smoke and drive, isn't it?
But possessing it, green marijuana.
Okay,
gotcha. Or if it smells like smoke marijuana, who's to say it's not in their clothes and the passengers are doing it, you know?
Right.
You would have to say the driver was impaired by doing it or something like that.
So you're saying that's not, it's no, it's taking it off the table. It makes it more difficult
to get the serious crime because right. you can't use that as a way to get in there.
Right.
Which a lot of people did not like the fact that it got used for that. And I get it.
I don't like that either. I don't think I like that idea.
I loved it. Got me a lot of cases. A lot of guns off the street. Probably saved hundreds of lives.
Saved hundreds of lives.
You're welcome,
Mitch. You're out there like a superhero. Mm-hmm. No.
I don't like to brag. But I will say, as far as fentanyl goes, I think the worst thing that has ever happened for the fentanyl crisis is the readily available Narcan.
I guess I don't know what Narcan is. That's the stuff
that you can shoot in your nose or whatever to reverse the effects if they overdose.
Of an overdose?
Somebody overdoses and falls out, you Narcan them. Shot okay. or nasal. Narcan, there's other names for it.
No, I know what you're talking about. That wouldn't make any, but that wouldn't make any sense because you wouldn't have more overdoses as a result.
You may have more deaths.
You would have more deaths? I would think you'd have less deaths. Bring those
people. Right. You may have more deaths if everything were equal. But I think they realize they can use as much as they want without impunity because somebody's going to bring them back with fentanyl or with the Narcan.
Oh, so you're,
now they use it more and abuse it more because they know.
You're hey, saying people
if I overdose,
they don't have they the respect that. For it they used to.
Right. People still, even when you're strung out on heroin, you knew that stuff can kill me. I got to somewhat be okay. careful. But now I don't think people care anymore. I can use as much as I want because they can Narcan me and bring me back.
And Narcan's that pretty readily available. That sounds a little crazy
to say, but yeah, when you stop cars and they have heroin or fentanyl in the car, somebody in that car has Narcan.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that. That's an interesting take. And yes,
you're saving lives, but are you?
Now, see, I don't know that there's another show out there where we could have gotten that take, that where you have somebody who's coming on and giving you an honest take on something that everybody's talking about now, this crisis. Look at that. You leaves it blew away. That is true, though. I hadn't heard that's a take I haven't heard anywhere or read anywhere.
I think it's true.
And you're probably right. It makes some sense.
That pretty much always right. So. People,
sage wisdom over there. That is interesting. Cause
that's just an opinion.
The drug crisis is something that not only am I not
privy to.
It's just not part of my experience. Living right. where I live, how I live,
very with my with the upbringing.
Kids with the kids that I have, it's not something I've run into much. Thank God.
But
thank goodness.
By the grace of God, because it could have hit your family closer just by chance.
Right. I'm not saying
the fentanyl and heroin, it does hit the middle class suburban families harder than any other drug.
That's what I hear.
Because it doesn't have that stigma when you start taking some Vicks or some opiates or something like that.
They're just pills.
Benzos or whatever. Right. Kids are partying, they're drinking, they pop a few pills, they feel good. But the next time they party, they're popping a few more pills. And before you know it, they can't afford the pills. So somebody said, hey, try this.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
And at that point, they don't want to go through the withdrawals because they're a bunch of sissies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up and I was always, and I still am a little bit. I told you I've never seen hard drugs. I have a little bit of an inherent fear of
good healthy
any
fear.
Kind of drugs. I would too. You know what I mean? Except I don't really consider marijuana a drug, but
yeah, because once it was legal, it's no longer a drug.
Yeah, it's not the same thing.
Okay.
But
tongue in cheek there, folks.
So to me, I don't see marijuana as a big problem.
When we get the studio cam set up for these podcasts, you'll understand my expressions, and I won't have to say tongue in cheek because you'll see the look on my face of sarcasm.
When we're doing the live feeds.
Yep. When I'm ringing the bell. Ding, ding, ding. Hey!
That is interesting, though, because I have wondered about the fentanyl thing, and it's just not something that... And I knew as a cop you'd run into it, but probably, truthfully, even over there in your area, you might run into it a little bit more than I would over here, possibly.
And the addictions program I used to work at.
Oh, yeah. You guys had that at your church, too.
And Rob Martin, who was on the show.
I mean,
you just... It's everywhere, really. Yeah. You can't get away with it, away from it.
That's what you hear. And you think the open borders are the biggest part of that.
contributing to it for sure.
I mean, it has to be. That's where it's all coming from, right? For the most part.
When the dope dealers start cutting you deals on how much it is for a pack or two, instead of $20, this guy's selling for $15. They're competing.
Yeah.
That wasn't happening when Trump was in there and the cocaine was hard to find.
Okay, I gotcha.
It was, you're paying more.
Yeah. So really, it's hard to come up with a way in which Biden has not completely and totally effed up the country. Is that fair? I mean,
name one good thing he's done.
Is everything he touches turns to crap?
Name one success he's had, and you can't even say this infrastructure bill, which isn't an infrastructure bill.
No. There's so what?
We can't count that as a success.
10 or 15% of real infrastructure.
Which is a lot of money from that much money, but
right.
The fact that he got it passed, I guess, would be a success, but the program itself or whatever they're doing is not going to help our country.
Well, no, nothing that Biden has done has made things better. Is that fair?
Well, he is getting some barrels of oil out of the reserve to help the gas prices, energy crisis.
Oh, God. I
hope people understand that's just a PR stunt.
That
might affect us for 3 days.
I heard that's about three days worth of
oil. Right.
Which is nothing.
Right.
I mean, it's just.
And there's such a delay in seeing the benefit of that anyway. A month down the road,
we'll never drop see it.
Like 3 cents a gallon. Right. Yeah. You'll never know.
No. It doesn't do anything to combat his shutting down of the Keystone Pipeline.
And then Whitler wants to shut down another pipeline.
So does Biden.
Down by Toledo, correct?
No, the one I know about is Line 5 that it goes between by the Mackinac Bridge, and it goes between the lower and the upper peninsula, but then it goes into Canada. It supplies a lot of Canada's fuel oil and stuff. And Canada's upset. Like, Canada is, they're invoking a treaty and everything else. Canada's fighting tooth and nail to not have that thing shut down.
Well, I think Fox took a reporter down to one of the big refineries and stuff that was going to be affected by that. And
it's insane.
They're using this global warming
Green
deal
to
destroy our economy.
On purpose.
They want our economy to fail, so we're all dependent on the government.
Yeah.
The government, there's no longer private business. The government owns everything, and the government's bigger and stronger and has more money, and they just keep us dependent on them. They want to make the whole country into what they've done in urban inner cities in the last 50 years.
I agree.
That's what they did. They gave and gave and gave to the inner cities and controlled them and kept them down. They polluted
the entire culture.
To keep them feeling like they're doing something good for them. Now they're dependent on them because they've lived off welfare for 3 generations.
Right.
And they want us that way too.
Yeah.
I think there's just too many Americans aren't going to be down with that. I hope.
I tend to agree with you. I don't think that there will be.
Every time they say, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that, this is free, that's free, red flags, flashing lights.
I think part of the reason I think the wheels are coming off is I don't believe that you can just print money with no end in sight forever.
We're in trouble.
I just don't think you can.
You're going to see inflation worse than
I mean, ever. You can't have a 20... What even is $27 trillion? It's a ridiculous, it's
an incomprehensible amount number
that we can't even wrap our heads around. And this is the debt that we're piling onto.
Imagine the podcast we could put on with that much money.
Wow. I don't even know. Like, at one point, I read something. How big of a
building would that fill up?
I read something about how big of a building you have just to house $1 trillion.
Oh, really?
And it was insane. Like,
bigger than like a pole barn?
Oh my God, so much bigger than a pole barn.
Seriously?
Yes. I don't even
I wonder how much you could pack in your house here.
I don't know, but not that much. Did you ever watch Breaking Bad?
Yeah,
or no?
I did.
The funniest, one of the most interesting things to me is how you don't realize that how much of a hassle all this cash is that you have to have a place for it. And then
to launder it.
And then these beetles will eat it, and there's all this stuff that you gotta do. Just to keep money, just to have a place to put it.
Yeah, to circle back.
Jen.
He's an utter failure thus far.
The Walking Joe.
I used to, at first I hated watching Jen Psaki.
Now you like her?
I don't like her. I like watching her try to spin things.
She's a nightmare.
Because she spins the unspinnable sometimes, and Anybody with a brain. She does a good
job?
No.
Oh, okay.
Anybody with a brain can look at her and what she's saying and think, you're an idiot.
There's nothing.
But she has to say it because there's no other option.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing I did want to bring up, I really enjoyed when they asked, what do you call Joe Biden? The walking Joe?
The walking Joe. The corpse formerly known as Joe Biden.
They asked him about the Rittenhouse verdict. He said, well, the justice system works. We have to trust the verdict and trust the jury. They did the right thing. He didn't know. He spoke his opinion, what it really is. Didn't know he wasn't supposed to do that. 3 hours later, comes back and makes a statement that we're so upset with miscarriage of justice and all this. Absolutely.
Because Kyle Rittenhouse shot a bunch of black people. People
have to see this. It had nothing to do with race, except for the Blake guy that got shot was black, who was armed.
Right.
And did not die.
Yeah. That was in Kenosha. Correct. That was what supposedly caused the Kenosha riots.
Right. So the media said he was murdered and he's unarmed. All false.
All, yes. All lies. That's what they do. They just make it up.
How? There has to be accountability at some point. That's where they were good. They got control of the media. And that's when they screwed us because you can't get the truth anymore out to all the people that don't want to know the truth and don't care enough to search for it. Take what they're spoon fed by.
True.
MSNBC and all that stuff. So
tell me this. What do you think about this? Has been, I don't know if you've heard it or not, but so I, you know, I listened to Clay and Buck that they took over for Rush. I did
like 20 minutes the other day and I'm like,
pfft. It takes a little while. But anyway, they're not the only ones. There is this line that seems to be going around, which is the way that we got that we're going to win this back is by focusing on the future, not focusing on the past. And what they mean by that is we don't want to talk about the 2020 election and how it was stolen. We have to be forward thinking. What do you think about that rationale?
I hope. Yeah, I agree with it. But you learn from the past. You can't ignore the past because that's what they used and they will do it again. But they're right. You have to move on to the future and fix the problems you had before. If they don't get these things filed, like the courts threw it up because they said you should have brought that before.
Yeah.
We need to bring it now.
Right.
Is that happening? I got to believe it is. Somebody's doing it.
I don't know. Now, we were talking to Kevin, a friend of ours, last night. And he's
good guy.
Former special ops guy. He has a lot of experience in the government. Those kinds of things. And he made the statement, which I hadn't heard from, that he doesn't think what happened. He said what happened in the 2020 election was a once in a lifetime thing that they're never going to be able to repeat the steal on again.
I didn't hear him say that.
He did That's say interesting. That. And I wondered about it when he said it. I thought, you know, because of COVID and the mail-in ballots. And
the COVID thing did help, but they got their foot in the door to keep it going.
Well, that's a thing. You know what Amber thinks is next? I don't know if it was the perfect storm, but I know people think that.
They saw an opportunity and they used it.
Right. That's true. That's what I think. I understand what they mean when they say you got to focus on elections going forward, but I also think, no, we need to find out what went wrong in order to fix it. And
I think both are true.
Me too. But I feel like they soft-pedaled the figuring out what went wrong because they just don't want to deal with it. They feel like the media has written the narrative and nobody wants to go back and relitigate the 2020 election except Trump.
You know how we fix, make sure it doesn't happen again? We need leaves that blew away on a bigger platform.
I agree.
We would solve everything. If people just listen to us.
If they listen more. That's true. More people listen.
No, right. I mean, hear us.
Yes, I agree.
If they take it in and process it and realize, man, these guys know.
The wisdom.
Know.
The wisdom
yeah.
that emanates.
This total package of delivery.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I don't like to brag, but
I don't want to call myself a hero just for having a podcast. Goodness. You're okay, but you think same thing I do. We still got to fix what went wrong. We can't have massive mail-in ballots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to stop that. You got to stop the mail-in ballots.
We didn't need it before. Why do we need it now?
No, it's ridiculous.
Fraud.
You know what Amber thinks? Amber thinks that the next crisis coming is smallpox. Did you hear that they discovered 3 or 4 vials of smallpox at a CDC lab in Pennsylvania. Now, there's only supposed to be 2 places in the world which even have smallpox. One is the CDC in Atlanta.
The other's an Indian reservation.
No, the other one's in Russia, I think. Those are supposed to be the only 2 places in the world where they even have smallpox. Vials of it, because it's so dangerous and deadly. And the federal government just bought $160 million of smallpox vaccines or therapeutics. I'm not sure which. Some kind of a dosage for smallpox. And Bill Gates has been talking about smallpox lately. So all of that put together says to Amber that the government is getting ready to weaponize smallpox.
Sounds like a conspiracy theory. I don't know how much you can actually prove of that, but
I will say that
I wouldn't put it past them.
I'll say this. It was on relatively mainstream news media that those smallpox vials were discovered.
I would say if I'd heard something that if I'd have heard that lunacy 4 years ago, I would have been like, you guys are crazy.
Crazy, right.
Now?
Yeah, I don't know.
Uh-oh.
I mean.
But we're vaccinated from it.
Have you heard.
Make a new strain.
Have you heard that the.
Make a new strain. What a novel idea.
That the vaccines, the COVID vaccines are now down to about a 2 or 3 month efficacy, theoretically, to the extent that they're efficacious at all. But also, I just read a study that there's a 20% higher morbidity or death rate with the vax compared to the unvaxxed.
Crazy, isn't it?
Imagine. They're trying to kill us.
They're trying. I don't think they want to kill us, but if that's what it takes to keep the fear going, they will do it.
When you got
to
kill some.
They just want to continue the fear. Continue the fear. Keep it lasting as long as possible. Their only goal.
And Will is absolutely right. The only thing that Dr. Hobbit and the Walking Joe's regime care about is keeping us paralyzed by fear. That is everything that they are using this entire coronavirus for. And it won't, I don't think it'll end with the coronavirus. It's going to keep going. They have decided that the only way they can stay in power is to rule by fear. And it's up to us to decide whether or not, as freeborn American citizens, we want to live that way. I hope more and more people are waking up and that we will choose not to live that way and that we will choose to cast off our oppressive federal government and reset our government back into the constitutional republic that it was designed to be. So thanks for joining us today, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks, of course, to Will for being on, as always. He brings a unique perspective that only he could. So I really appreciated him coming up and or coming over and doing the show with me this last weekend as we ruminated over the holiday and the turkey and everything else. Don't forget, you can find us at Facebook or Instagram at Leaves of Blue Away. My website, thetoddallen.com. Check out my book, Leaves of Blue Away, available on Amazon. And if you love the show or greatly enjoy the show, and I'm fairly certain that those are the only options, make sure that you subscribe. If possible, review and rate the show. That helps more people find it. And tell people about it. Forward it. Forward the clips that I put up on Facebook or on Instagram to your friends and family. Share the Leaves the Blue Away love, as they say. All right, guys. That was the first part of my show with Will. The second part will be out next week. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.